Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Quarterly Report Investor Briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session for analysts only, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by one on your telephone. Any media queries will need to follow the regular channels. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 13th of April, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Paul Flynn, Managing Director and CEO. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for joining the March quarter investor call. I'll go through the highlights as I normally do and try and get through each of the release headings that we normally present, and then get to our question and answer session. I'm joined here by Jamie Frankham, our EGM Ops, and Kevin Ball, our CFO, and Ian McAleese, as many of you know, the head of our investor relations. For the quarter, it's been quite a significant quarter volume-wise, but in an interesting market, there's no doubt we'll get to some questions about that. So the highlights, just as we go, safety has been very good, so nice to see the continuation of our good safety performance and significant improvement on the run rate that we had last year. We have had a record in terms of quarterly ROM production for the quarter at 5.7 million tonnes. Our managed quarterly saleable coal production at 5.1 million tonnes. The quarterly sales is just slightly less than that at 4.9 million tonnes. Maules Creek is now operating at its 10.5 million tonne per annum run rate, which is very positive. And our Gunnedah Ops have had a big quarter, as you can see there, at 1.7 million tonnes of ROM production for the quarter. The longwall changeout at Narrabri is very close to completion, and we are looking to resume production next week. And all things are heading positively on our Vickery and large Vickery approval, and the submission of our EIS is expected by the end of June, as we've previously stated. Just across to those numbers at the bottom of the first page at 5.675, we're slightly up on the March 16. I'll say very slightly, but March of 16 was actually our highest ever quarterly ROM production total at the managed level, and it is compared against a period where there was no change-out versus one where there is obviously a change-out. So still nice to beat that even with the change-out going. The saleable coal production at 5 million tonnes was obviously less than our last period at 5.3, and 11% less than our total sales, as I said, at 4.9 versus 5.5 for the previous corresponding quarter. Over the page on the quarterly numbers at 4.4 is flat essentially with the last period, again compared to a period which didn't have a change out versus this one that does. Equity saleable coal production at 3.9 versus 4 for the previous corresponding quarter. Equity sales at 3.6 versus 4.2, some 15% down over the previous corresponding quarter. We have bought a little bit of coal over the last little while, and I'll explain a little bit of that later. And our equity stocks, coal stocks, have run up as we build production for what's going to be quite a significant quarter in our run home for this financial year. As I said, safety has been pretty positive, so I'm very pleased to see that we are improving our safety period on period, and certainly much better than where we were last year. The coal sales at 4.9 million tonnes does exclude that purchased coal. The purchased coal in this period really has been just buying a little bit more high ash material to meet some contract opportunities that we've seen in the marketplace to deliver some coal sales into the market, which are higher than the average ash that we normally produce at our mines. So you have seen us buy some higher ash material from some of our peers during the period. With Narrabri obviously in change out, the level of sales were lower than we'd seen in those previous periods. Our equity coal sales split for the quarter was 64% for our high CV thermal, was 22% for our metallurgical coal, and 14% for our low CV thermal coal. The sales mix for the quarter was influenced by extra sales in the low CV market as Werris produced a bit more material during this period. And that was over our previous quarter, which was about 8%. You will see this trend back to a lower level over the balance of the year. But the backdrop of supply-demand tightness is presenting certainly an interesting market, and I'm sure we'll get to that in the Q&A. There certainly had been strong demand for steelmakers running through up to that December quarter. We saw that big settlement in terms of prices that were set. And then subsequent to to the year end or the calendar year end, there was a relaxation of supply constraints in China, and as a result, demand for metallurgical coal, you saw that soften very quickly after that settlement was done. So it's been an interesting time. And then, of course, you know, that provided an opportunity for people to be buying at spot, as we know. And then, of course, Cyclone Debbie has turned up. So it's been an interesting time with lots of variables playing in the coal price market. So it's not surprising that it's a little hard to follow in terms of what prices are at the moment. But Maules Creek's been doing very well, as I said, at 10.5 million tonnes per annum run rate. That's certainly pleasing to see. And at 2.6 million tonnes of ROM production for the quarter, that's certainly very positive. We are on track to reach our 9.5 to 9.8 million tonnes of ROM guidance that we've given previously. And the saleable coal production at 2.5 million tonnes is up about 25% on what it was in the previous corresponding period. Sales for the period at 2.2, 6% up on the previous corresponding period. Interestingly, the met coal sales are just under the 500,000 tonne mark for Maules Creek in the quarter, representing about 23% of the coal sales for the mine thus far this year. Semi-soft sales certainly were softer in prices we've seen over the last period, but actually since the storm we've seen inquiries pick up quite nicely. So we do expect that to continue that upward trend in the final quarter of the year. Narrabri, as you know, has been going through the change-out in this quarter and is going well. The target, or our coal production of 1.37 million tonnes, was as a product of that change-out going along. We do expect this just after the Easter break to come back into production, and we see that there should be a seamless ramp-up in this last quarter. And we're not expecting any difficulties now that this will be our first 400-metre-wide face that we're mining. But looking forward to how that ramps up over the next few weeks. Roadway development's been solid and continuing at a pace for the development of Longwall Panel 8. As I said earlier, the Gunnedah operations have had a really strong quarter, which has been very positive, 1.7 million tonnes ROM for the quarter compared to 1.55 for the previous corresponding period. There's been good safety performance all the while there, and each of the mines have been doing quite nicely. Tarrawonga at 653,000 tonnes has done considerably better than it did in the previous quarter, and is going to hit a pretty high point, I think, for this total year, as we see this last quarter also represent an opportunity to continue to push forward. Rocglen has had a blinder. You'll recall last quarter was actually quite low ROM production-wise. We did actually have a lot of stocks in the pit, and we did talk also about some constraints in our trucking ability down to the mine. Those trucking constraints have now been cleared. And as a result, you've seen more production coming out of the pit. So that's been a big step up in volume, which is very positive. Whereas Creek did 463,000 tonnes for the quarter, down on the previous, but as everybody knows, Whereas Creek runs into a pretty chunky last quarter just by virtue of hitting those deeper seams in our mining sequence at the end of what turns out to be the end of the financial year. And then you'll see a big run home for Whereas as well. The Vickery project, as I said, has been trucking along quite nicely. We're on track to deliver that EIS to the government. Consultations with community and government have been continuing at pace, and we're not seeing any particular roadblocks there in terms of the enlarged Vickery project, and look forward to submitting that shortly and then working through the regulatory processes, which in the half year we outlined a timeline for that. So we're estimating between 12 to 18 months for those regulatory processes to conclude. Just our stats as we normally provide in terms of the hedge cover that we have, $37 million US at an average of about 74 is a pretty small position. On to coal prices, and I'm sure this will be the subject of some questions, obviously with market gyrating around the way it has been. Met coal sales, we've averaged about $119 US for the quarter, 22% of total sales. And that obviously reflects a combination of sales contracts and indices that we are exposed to and that we sell at during the quarter. But as I say, the conditions have been quite interesting, given that we had that big settlement and then the underlying demand fell away during the ensuing months or so, and it's quite interesting. You did see the Japanese steelmakers, the benchmark buyers, actually run down their stocks quite considerably. Given that they were not incentivised to be buying more at 171 when the spot price was obviously hovering between 90 and 100. And so that has led to subdued demand, but as a result of the cyclone, and having run down their stocks, they're obviously active in the market now as we speak. So I think that one will be a watch this space for this last quarter. We have had some of our sales at our contracted sales, which will attract the 171. They're going to be spread through this next quarter, so you will see a blended outcome in this last quarter of prices that are reflective of when that next settlement occurs, plus a tail of pricing that we bring into it where customers have asked us to spread that volume over not just this quarter but next as well. I do think that quarterly benchmark settlement will take a little while to land, just given the uncertainty of the continuing impact of the cyclone damage. So I think all the feedback we're seeing from both sides of that discussion is that there is some caution just to understand exactly what the impact of that is before a settlement's arrived at. And I do think that caution is compounded by the fact that obviously that last settlement proved to be probably less valid for the continuing supply-demand dynamic that followed. And I think there's cautious players on both sides not wanting to lock something in before they have better information to hand. In terms of our realisations for the thermal coal, the average for the Nuke Index for the period was $81.5. We got 83 for all our coal, so not just the new quality and the stuff that we sell is better than that, but also for the low CV as coal as well. So pretty good outcome there. Maules Creek during that period has achieved an average of about 9% premium over the GC Nuke price. So those premiums are continuing to be robust, and obviously we're always trying to push that forward. In terms of the outlook, I think it is a little bit it is an interesting time. I think the impacts of this storm damage are yet to be completely understood. There's certainly some coal moving already, which is good to see, I think, for the operations to the north. But I do think there's going to be a lingering impact on the met coal sales in particular for some time. As I say, stocks did run down with the benchmark buyers during this last quarter. The storm has caught them out, and so we are seeing some positive movements in pricing now. I think semi-soft now is about 130. So you'll see certainly sometime before this price negotiation concludes, but the realisations in this last quarter I think will be quite positive. And as a whole, we are on our guidance to deliver the 21 to 22 million tonne range of saleable coal production, and the cost guidance that we've given, the $1 to $2 in the second half, is certainly in range of where we think we'll land. Exploration has been modest, as you would expect at these times. So on the whole, I think the quarter's been certainly solid from a production perspective. Nice to hit a high watermark, albeit by only 10,000 tonnes from our previous high, but certainly given that there was a change out in place, that's certainly a pretty good achievement. And let's see how these prices for the next quarter settle. But on the whole, we're feeling pretty confident about making our guidance for the year, and I think overall the operations of the company are performing pretty well. With that, I'll hand back to you, operator, and we'll open the lines to questions and answers.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, for audio participants, if you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0, then 2. Once again, that is 0 followed by 1. Your first question comes through the line of Clark Wilkins from Citi. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Paul. Just a question on the contract position on this sort of semi-soft. Like, obviously, it's volatile markets and that at the moment. I appreciate that. But for realised pricing, can you give a bit more colour on how much carryover tonnes do you actually have to the second quarter? What is actually contracted versus what it's sold at spot? Because obviously, given the volatility in prices, to get to an accurate realised price, we probably need a bit more colour just on how the book looks, sort of thing.
Yep. Thanks, Clark. Yeah, look, it is a volatile time. There's no doubt about it. It's quite interesting how this all is playing out. I know we went we had quite a lengthy discussion at the half-year results time to try and give people some colour around what the expectations should be for price realisations in this period. And the principle remains the same. If you don't actually have a term contract obliging people to pay the 171, any sales you wanted to do or had to be at spot. And using the Platts number was the example that we gave back at that time. And so that certainly has played out during this period. In terms of tonnes that we would expect spill from one period from last quarter into this quarter we're in, I think that's in about the 250 to 300 type range level of tonnage that will move between one and the other. The customers are happy. Well, I won't say happy. That's probably not the right way. They will honour the prices that they're obliged to pay. But what they have asked us is we wouldn't mind smoothing it over last quarter with this one. And we've said we would oblige them in that as long as the volumes, overall volumes, don't change. So what we've seen is that 171, as we mentioned before, you know, any procurement officer who didn't have a contract in their hand that obliged them to pay 171 and was looking for new tonnes, i.e. Whitehaven, because Whitehaven's bringing new tonnes with new production and is looking for term contracts to underpin that production. We're the new seller, and therefore we were receiving and are receiving the spot price for that semi-soft. Now, that obviously has picked up now, and we'll see some better prices achieved in this quarter. But the caution there is, Clark, is really, you know, people are, as I say, they are a little jumpy about settling this too early. So I think it will take a little bit more time before people feel like they've got a good handle on what the impacts are to the north. And I think, the negotiating, buyer at the last settlement feels pretty sensitive about what happened last time and is cautious about jumping too quickly to settle at this time. So in the meantime, any contracted tonnes that you had will get that price. Any spot tonnes that you need to move, and which is quite a considerable portion of ours in terms of our semi with the new production, that'll get the spot price.
So just to remind me again, what is the split? What is the split between contracted versus spot sales on the semi? Like, obviously, it's changing over time, but as a rough split for this year and maybe next.
I haven't got the exact split on that, but I think if you use half-half going forward, I think that's probably reasonable. Yeah, well,
great.
If you look at the total tonnes at 20, so we want to get to 21 to 22 million tonnes for this year, and if you said that we land between the, 25 to 30% met mix, and you knew what was there before Maules came in, i.e. Tarrawonga and the Narrabri tonnes, and you know that they're contracted, so the new volume coming in is really Maules being the difference, and all that volume, there's probably only about a million and a half of it that's actually contracted already of the Maules volume.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Peter O'Connor of Shaw and Partners. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Paul. Two questions, one on price and one on for Jamie on the long walls at Narrabri. Just following up on Clark's, so in the quarter just gone, call it circa a million tonnes of semi-soft went out the door. How much pricing carried over on a contract basis from the deck quarter into March quarter? You've given us a number for the carryover into this quarter. Because I'm still trying to back calculate that 119, and I'm not struggling, but I'm just lacking data points to get there. So thanks for giving us the guidance going ahead.
Yep.
So in the quarter just gone, can you tell us what was contracted at both the old and the March quarter price?
I don't have the carryover from December into this one, so we'll have to come back to you on that one. Just the slippage, obviously, from this one into the next I've just given. It's definitely a difficult one to reconcile. I certainly accept that. I mean, you've had semi-soft prices being in the low 90s. So any sales that were done in the low 90s, and we're not attempting to speculate here and hold tons for a better price. I mean, that's not the business we're in. We're in the business of producing it for the lowest cost we can. Of course, we want to always negotiate the best price for ourselves. But as you know, these are finely tuned logistical machines as well, so you don't have the ability to just sit on tons. So if the tons go, they're ready, and a customer is there, and you don't have a contract, to get the benchmark, then you sell at a spot, and if that means it goes at $95, then it does. And there's been a good proportion of those tonnes that have gone through this quarter that have gone out low. Now, of course, since the cyclone's come on, prices have come back up again quite nicely, and so we'll see tonnes go at materially better prices than what they were achieved during this quarter. But I don't have the direct splits for you, so perhaps we can have a separate discussion later on about the carryover from December.
Can you tell us how many tonnes in the March quarter went out as contract, either the carryover or the current? You said 50-50 going forward. Was it more like 30%? Like 300,000 tonnes was contracted?
Yeah, I don't have the detail of that, so okay. I don't want to guess.
No, got it. That's fine. And just to Jamie, you talked about the 400-metre face, and that's great that it's about to start up. Jamie, when you think about that and the risks that are involved and you want to sleep at night, what do you look for? Is it for the face to go 400 metres so it's completed and it starts to cave that takes the stress off you in terms of its working? Is it horizon control that you're worrying about given that the face is longer and the operators need to get up and running with that additional width? Are they the kind of the key areas that will highlight how it's running for you, or are there other metrics that you'd look at?
Well, they are some of it, Peter. Look, in terms of the transition from 300 to 400, I mean, it really isn't, a significant change other than that increase in width. I mean, the caving is already at supercritical, so we don't expect to see any changes there in terms of ground conditions when we start up. You know, certainly it might take a little bit, pardon me, longer, I guess, to get the first cave, you know, so we'll be watching that. But you know, ventilation-wise, pardon me, this is the first longwall block where we've got increased roadways both on the main gate side and tailgate side to improve the ventilation across the face. So we would expect, you know, what we see typically in start-up of, some gas delays in the tailgate, we would expect to see less of that. I don't have trouble sleeping at night, mate. I think.
That's good to know. Thank you.
I expect things to go. The only change, obviously, is that this AFC is a different OEM supplier to what the supports. You know, but we've gone through a very extensive compatibility testing on the surface down at Rutherford. We had no issues with that. You know, we're powering up the longwall as we speak. You know, we'll go through the same sort of commissioning tests that we go through. You know, we don't see any issues with that on the start up on the 18th, but we're not naive enough to think that there may not be some things that we'll just need to check between the communications between the Joy system and the CAT system. But they will be minor, if any.
Okay. Thanks,
Rising Control. Pricing control is still driven by the CAT system, you know. So really, really the change to Joy, I mean, that AFC, you know, it's a change in supplier, you know, the change in the drive technology, and we've got a lot more horsepower on the on that 400 metre wide face, as you would imagine. We've gone to a bigger chain, so all the things have been specced up, you know, adequately for that. Horizon control, yeah, it doesn't change.
Yeah, we
that's driven by the CAT system, so we don't expect that to be any problem.
That hasn't given us an issue since
the
original problem we had,
yeah.
Now, what, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any change in performance of the horizon control since that time.
No. The horizon control.
The other thing is just to, there are other 400 metre faces in the marketplace using the same configuration as the equipment that we're using in terms of a blended OEM outcome. And they've been performing very well. So we're quite confident that we're not taking any untoward risks here with this configuration. And as Jamie says, you know, we're expecting a ramp up to proceed as it would in any other of the panels, given that you know, there's no change in subsidence profile. And you know, so I think it'll be we're all keen to see it get up as quickly as we can. And but all the signs are pointing in the right direction.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Glenn Lowcock of UBS. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Oh, good morning, Paul. I just wanted to get a little bit more about the market. Just, you know, semis at 130 and above. Just, is it coal going through at that price and are you getting some away? And then just how should I think about your contracts? You know, with Maules Creek, I think you said 1 to 1.5 is contracted. The rest is spot. How long does it take to move your customer into that contract price, and what's the ultimate aim? Do you envisage Maules Creek, like Narrabri and Tarrawonga, ultimately all being contracted, or will there be a spot component? So just trying to think of the timeline transition as you go forward. And then another couple of quick questions. Just the third-party purchases in the quarter, you said something about high ash coal. Is that a contract you had to deliver into? So you bought to deliver into that, so you could then sell your coal at a better price elsewhere, just or why. And then you make a comment in the quarterly, you've got some fixed price low CV coal. Just wondering if you could disclose the volume and the price for that low CV and how long that contract goes. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Ben. I'll try and write those down previously while you were asking. That's a few questions there.
That's all right, I've got them if you need them again.
3 points generally requires a meeting, I think, rather than a phone call. But anyway, let's see, here we go. Timeline to settling, semi-soft contracts. It's been a bit of a fungible notion, there's no doubt about it, because whilst we've got good quality coal and people like it, and they like the life of the mine and all the attributes that go with it, this index has been jumping around so much, you know, the benchmark, it's been a little bit, despite our desire to try and lock people down into more certain outcomes for us in terms of pricing, or pricing framework, not pricing outcomes, because as we see, the benchmark's jumping around. So it is taking longer than what we expected, so there's no doubt about that. Those who've jumped right in, typically have not been the Japanese, I have to say, which is probably the interesting part of it all. They're taking their time. The Koreans have been pretty aggressive in securing those tons for themselves. Taiwan has also been very aggressive in taking a big lick of those tons. So 1.5 million tons contracted, and they will get the benchmark price for those tons. The balance of the tons that we're moving are going at spot. Now, the process is, let's move that into a contractual position. There are small contractual positions already in Japan, but they're pretty modest tons per annum. You know, there's smaller boutique people like paper mills and things like that who've signed up some term business for us. But it is going to take some time. So I wish I could give you a bit more clarity around the timeline to roll those things into ongoing contractual business. But it's just going to be fungible. Each of those customers seem to take a different timeline. But obviously we're pushing as hard as we can to give ourselves the greatest degree of certainty. We do want to go to the second part of this question. We do want to move to a highly contracted position. There's no reason why we wouldn't want to do that. We want to push the met harder than the thermal. So as I said in previous calls, we're at that point where we want to leave the thermal contracting quite short term, and we want to keep pushing the met now, because the thermal is already at that base case type level that we set for ourselves, the 50-50 split. So we want to leave it relatively short. So if we want to go higher on the met, we can. Our focus is really just trying to nail down the met volumes and the met terms. The third party purchases, that was a contract we won at a 15% ash essentially, and we wanted to target the business because it's a customer who takes more volume than just that one. So we put some volume in there, but we had a shortage of the high ash materials. You know, we have some, but we had a shortage of it, so we bought a bit to essentially dirty up our 9% thermal. You know, which we've sold in the market. Now, we wouldn't have done that if there wasn't good money in it. There was, and it's turned out to be good business for us. That's actually relatively short-term business, but it is all about building the relationship with that customer. That customer has subsequently come back and said, actually, we would like to move into another contract, but we'd like to actually move into not the traditional ash profiles that they've had, but with the new power station, they'd like to move into a low ash profile, typically what we sell into Japan. So that's quite encouraging. I think it was the right answer to give these people a taste test of our coal and move them, transition them into the low ash material that we get the premiums for. So that worked pretty well. The fixed price low CV contracts, that's really just Korean. That's just Korean tons. I mean, on average, they're 12 months contracts, these things. So on average, our tail of that is a 6 months duration. So those things gave you a bit of a benefit when the prices were falling because you fixed it for 12 months. It can go the other way, obviously, when prices are rising. You know, prices are pretty robust for Korean tonnage at the moment. So that's looking pretty good. You're looking in the 80s, you know, early 80s for that at the moment. So if you're going to lock in some low CV tons in those sorts of numbers, you know, even the Chinese quality tons, which we don't generally have, but you know, those numbers are pretty good. So if you're putting that in place for as these tenders roll over, that's not a bad outcome for us.
And Paul, sorry, what would the volume be of that then? Is it about a million a year?
Of the low CV coal? Oh no, it's a little bit more than that. No, it's
1.2.
I think it's a little bit more than that too. Yeah, so about 1.5. So if you think about Werris, right, because Werris generally is Korean quality, right?
Yep.
And if you strip out the sale tons that we draw out of that pit, then you've got to say the balance is, yeah, call it the 1.5, you know, type level. And that's generally what goes to the Korean market. Now, we use some of this, of course, to blend into our other coals. But I think if you use that as the baseline, and that's what we're saying, the volumes actually don't change that much, but they do proportionately diminish over time because the rest of the portfolio is a much higher quality. We've brought on tons at a better, at a lower ash than that particular pit. And it just diminishes as a proportion over time. And as you know, Werris has got about 7 years left in it. But it'll just be dwarfed by the rest of the higher quality coals that we're bringing on.
Yep. Okay. And you are getting some tons away at this 130 plus price now?
Yes, we are. We are. Yep. I have to say it's not as robust as what we'd like, but we are moving tons at the moment. That's good. So we've got a few tons, as you can see, on our stocks ready to go. So that's quite positive. I think people are going a little bit cautious without a settlement of this next benchmark, just to do that. And that's what I think the underlying concern is. The people with whom we're dealing are not new tons, they're repeat tons from previous players who have actually deferred signing up a contract yet. You know, it goes back to this earlier point that you were making. So we're selling them additional tons, but they're not signing up on the basis of, you know, say, for instance, an evergreen annual contract, which is what we want them to do.
All right. That's great. Thanks very much, Paul.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Dylan Kelly of CLSA. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gents. Most of my questions have been answered. I just wanted to, just one quick question. I wanted to clarify the cost guidance for this half. That's all.
Dylan, we've said previously that due to the wet weather we had and the recovery plans we put in place to deal with that, and also a little bit lower volume out of Narrabri this year that we guided earlier, we would have a $1 to $2 step up in the second half. And I think that guidance, we're still happy with that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Lyndon Fagan of JP Morgan. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi, guys. Look, first question is just on Narrabri. Obviously, you had the longwall change out, but I noticed that saleable coal production is actually lower than ROM, and sales are pretty low as well. Typically, there is a bit of an inventory drawdown to help make up some of the difference. And I'm just wondering if you can give us a bit of colour as to why the inventory draw wasn't a bit bigger to help, I guess, bridge the gap. That's the first one. I guess the second one is just a bit of a high-level question. Obviously, with Cyclone Debbie and the outlook for coal prices being probably better than what you thought over the next quarter, can you make any comments about the potential for paying a dividend this year? I know it's early days, but, I mean, is that something that you wouldn't rule out? Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, Lyndon. Look, Lyndon, based on my numbers, saleable ROM production wasn't vastly different from saleable or sales during the period. They were pretty consistent with each other. But the one thing I would point out to you, just a reminder, I suppose, of, you know, obviously we had some tougher ground conditions earlier in the year. That slowed us down a little bit. And so what we have been doing is we have been drawing down those stocks over that period. And we've been a little... Well, we've been a little hand-to-mouth, I have to say, at Narrabri during that time. And then, so normally what we try and do is build up big stocks going into the change-out so we can sell right through that period. Now that hasn't been the case because of that slower period. It was a little hard to get in front of yourself there. And then you entered into the change-out with a few tons left than what you wanted to have when you know you've got a six-week period of no production in front of you. And so that's what's played out there. But by and large, saleable coal, ROM, and sales have been pretty consistent with each other. In terms of pricing as a result of the storm impact, yeah, look, that's certainly going to give us a bit of a leg up, I would say, as we run into this last quarter. I mean, that's nice to see. I don't want to stick my neck out too far here on that divvy front, just because that's really a board call. Our guidance had been really... The board's mind at this point, obviously this is a discussion which is quite dynamic, had been really saying that 18, financial year 18 interim would be the logical point at which to resume dividend paying. And I think that's, it would be wrong for me to say that's not the continued stated position of the board in this, in, on this point. Of course, if, you know, if we had a blinder in the second half, that discussion will, of course, resurface, but their position, as it stands today, is that an interim for 18 would be the logical time to resume.
Yep. Thanks. So look, just to circle back on Narrabri, if we're trying to sort of forecast the longwall change out scheduled for the March 18 quarter, I guess, you know, as you said, typically we'd be, you'd be building stocks ahead of it and then drawing them through the change out to sort of maintain your sales rate. Should we expect it to get back to that type of scenario by then? Or are there, are you still sort of probably living hand to mouth a bit?
No, we're expecting, look, what you're trying to do is match your sales. You're matching your sales to your production. And of course, if we went through that period last time when there was obviously less production than we expected during that period of the ground conditions we were travelling through, you know, we obviously had to work pretty hard to make sure that we just managed the profile of those sales so that we, you know, met them with obviously 500,000 tonnes less of Narrabri production than what we started out the year thinking we were going to have. But now that that's largely done and you'll be back into production, we are expecting to see some improvements in productivity here, obviously with the 400 metre faces we've spoken about. So our view is we will get back to that position of building those stocks so that we can sell through the change out for 7 to 8.
Right, thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, your last question of the queue is from the line of Andrew Hodge from Macquarie. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Thanks very much, guys. The only question I really just wanted to ask was just around, I guess, kind of Rocky was touching as well, just around pricing kind of rollover as well. If I think back to the prior quarter from December, when you were talking about rolling that price over into this one as well, and I think at the time then you were kind of saying sort of a 50-50-ish split. Again, like I'm kind of struggling to get to that number that you guys have. And so I guess the thing that I'm just trying to work out, like I can see that you've built inventory. And the thing that I'm just trying to work out is in terms of, I guess, like forecasting for the final quarter of the year, like if you can obviously deplete your inventories pretty hard, then it looks like that you could do okay. I guess you're really just getting more clarity around, again, where you kind of see in terms of a continuation about rolling contracts, because that seems to be sort of a big sticking point, because I mean, you've dropped down from sort of an 80% realization to a 70% realization, and it makes a pretty big impact, particularly as you get into a falling price market for semi-soft.
Look, Andrew, I think we spent a lot of time on this call and the half year talking about why that simplistic view of realization doesn't actually work. As I said to you before, I'll say again, at the 171 number, when the spot price was, you know, down around, it travelled very quickly down to $100, and so at that point in time, nobody was going to sign up for any contracts that said they were going to buy coal at 171. You'd lose your job if you were the procurement officer or any particular buyer at that time. And so that simplistic average doesn't work in that environment. And not to say that we wouldn't have wanted 171, of course we would have, but the market is the market. And you're not going to be able to sign up a contract in that environment that's going to oblige someone to hand over $171 when they can buy on the spot for $100. And so that's the dynamic that's featured for us during this quarter. It goes back to a couple of the previous other questions there as well, that, as I say, we're disappointed that the timeline for rolling over, you know, trials and repeated trials where people are happy with the quality, we know they like it, and they know that we can consistently provide the quality, hasn't been able to roll into term business in Japan in particular on a speedier basis than what they've done. There's no doubt about that. But the problem is the backdrop of these gyrations in prices and now storms has provided an environment where people have felt less confident to roll into term business and sign you up to that, especially when there's such an opportunity to buy cheaper in the spot. Now, that's not what we want, and I'm sure ultimately that's not what they want also in terms of consistency of knowing that they can get the volume, because while that's all going on, we could be selling it in Korea or Taiwan because they've been more aggressive to sign up to tons, and that would reduce the overall available capacity of semi-soft at Maules Creek for their market. So, look, it is a challenge. I know it's going to make it hard to model in this next quarter. I agree with that entirely, so I understand your issue there, but it is what it is, and until the people actually sign up on a term basis and we get a benchmark settlement, I think people are going to be reluctant to sign up on that term basis until they do that. So it'll be spot for a while, I think, is the answer.
And just as a follow-up for that, obviously there's been more and more talk about guys switching over, like moving sometimes out of thermal into semi-soft. Can you provide any kind of comment or colour on that in the sort of negotiations you've had with guys?
Yeah, look, we're not seeing much of that. I mean, it's at these levels, well, not now, but, you know, if you look, and that's the volatility of this market, isn't it, at the moment? You know, if you looked at the prices pre the cyclone, you know, you would have said, you know, based on what you've just said, you would have said for sure that there would have been people who had jumped back into the semi market having not been doing that for a while. They would have found themselves very quickly, you know, actually tearing up some money by selling thermal, given their washing costs and their yield losses relative to ours. So at $92 or $93 semi versus, you know, an $85, say, for instance, GC Nuke price, most of those Hunter Valley guys won't be making, they'll be losing money by selling semi relative to what they do at the Nuke. Now, that's not been the circumstance for us, but even with our low yield losses, those two price points, you're almost indifferent to it. That's not to say we've not been doing it. We have been selling ours as semi because we want the relationships with the customers where they're continuing to try the product and get satisfied with it. We've been doing that because we've been indifferent to it. If we're losing money, that would have been a question. But, you know, if it was a small loss, we probably still would have done it for the sake of rolling over the business into a term contract.
But at 130 versus 90.
Yeah, the Hunter Valley guys would have been leaving money on the table if they were selling it as semi at that price range.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. Gentlemen, please continue.
Well, thank you, operator, and thank you, everybody, for taking the time and to hear the quarter's results. So we look forward to certainly a big quarter in this last quarter. You can obviously see where our guidance are and where we are year to date. We're going to have a pretty chunky quarter as we run into the finish line for the year. But if there's any other questions, pricing or otherwise, you know where to find us. We'll look forward to speaking to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Thank you.